Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Do you want to win some free footy merch?
Including some jerseys, the World Cup ball,
some World Cup merchandise, and a free case of Prime.
It's $5 for 10 entries, $20 for 100 entries, and $50 for 300 entries.
And all proceeds go towards funding Kick the Stigma.
Our charity soccer game with Toronto's top influencers or personalities is coming November 16th. Keep an eye out on our YouTube channel and be sure to enter that raffle.
Julian, after the first four rounds of the Champions League, who do you think will win the competition?
Oh, I didn't see that question coming. I think the favorites, no doubt, are, I mean, it was Real Madrid before this week. Arguably still in there. Bayern Munich probably has to be up there. PSG are going to be up there always because they're the reigning champions. Barca are probably there. And then Arsenal, of course, you can't forget. I will go with, if I have to pick one, I think it's Barcelona's year.
Really?
I think Barcelona are going to win the Champions
League. After watching what you saw against Bruges?
That's a good point. That's a good
I
point.
I mean, honestly, I think if there's a if there's another answer other than Bayern Munich right now.
Yeah, I don't want to be boring.
Yeah, it's hard to not be boring, you know?
Yeah.
But you just can't count out the 16 wins in a row to start the season they've had. I think they're the team to beat right now.
Yeah. That's a fair point. You could, don't put it past Arsenal making a run. Don't put it past, don't put it past City making a run. You never know. And then Liverpool are always going to be an option as well. I'm glad we don't have an outstanding favorite right
I
now.
I do agree.
Unless you want to count Bayern as an outstanding favorite. But I don't think they are right now.
They certainly seem like the hardest team to beat right now with Arsenal. I think those are the top two. But to win the Champions League, you can't just be a hard team to beat. There's a lot of luck that's involved with that as well. I mean, look at PSG last year, zero injuries, right? So you can't predict that at this stage of the competition. I think last season it was kind of the same thing. No one really thought that PSG would win the Champions League at this stage of the season. They were in shambles at this stage of the season last year. So it still could be somewhat surprising.
100%.
You mentioned Real Madrid. I don't know if they have, after watching what I saw against Liverpool, I don't want to put my Madrid hater hat back on, but I think there's still something missing.
There is.
And it could take time, but right now it's hard for me to see Real Madrid or Barcelona even. Just
but I like when you can look at the Champions League and you could say there are five, to seven, maybe even eight teams that you could realistically see with a shot to win it.
I mean, even City. You never know.
I mean, shitty.
Was that pun intended?
That was complete reflex.
Okay.
No, but unironically, they don't look shitty. And we're going to get into their game against Dortmund today. We're going to get into a bunch of the heavy hitters out in Europe. But this is our special midweek edition, which is pretty rare, I'd say. Since
Very
the season
rare at
started.
This point, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done one of these so far
we
yet.
We haven't
potted
this regularly since the Club World Cup.
Yeah, ever since we started organizing the charity game, we have a rare Wednesday night that is free for at least two of us. But we're making the most out of it. Welcome back to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 128 of the 6 Yard Box podcast. And today we're going over all the Champions League action over the past 48 hours. I'm joined here by Antoine. How are you feeling?
Feeling okay. It's always going to be a tough game for PSG.
Slight correction. European champion, Antoine.
Thank you. I forgot about that, actually. Oh. I mean, it almost doesn't feel like it anymore after being schooled by Bayern, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. European champion, but probably not a fan of the best team right now in Europe.
That's fucked up.
Is it wrong?
Credit where credit's due, man.
Yeah, we're going to get into their loss against Bayern Munich. But first, we're going to start with the other major game that happened on Tuesday at Anfield. Liverpool beat Real Madrid 1-0. Very lackluster performance from Real Madrid. Very lackluster time for neutral fans, I would say. Obviously, Trent didn't start this game. That's what I was most looking forward to.
I don't agree with that. Just because you're calling it a bad game just because Trent didn't play?
No. I'm saying the storyline outside of the game, coming into
the
game,
so the storyline outside of the game matters more to you than the actual context of the game.
I'm saying, from a neutral perspective,
because I'm a neutral too, and I thought that was a great game.
This is sport entertainment. I want to be entertained, not just by the football I see on the field, but when there are extracurricular storylines going on, like Trent getting a mural of him defaced the game of the game, the day of the game,
yeah.
then that's enjoyable. And I want to see him come back and respond and see what the reception is.
He did make an appearance.
He did make an appearance, and there were lots of boos for it. But
a lot of them.
A lot of them. I think there's a big debate whether or not those boos even should have happened. But
really?
Yes.
Is there still? Wow.
I think. Are you a for or against the boos?
I'm a for.
You're for the boos?
Yeah, I think so. At this point, yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe this point. But I just know that, you know, five or 10 years, it's going to be a Vince Carter situation. And Liverpool fans are going to be like, you know what? Maybe we were a little too harsh on Trent. He wanted to realize his dream, whatever.
Mm.
So, but yeah. Actually, like, whole storyline of the game, pretty disappointed he didn't start. Very disappointed he didn't start.
I disagree. He was never going to start, first of all. He's back from an injury. You should have known that. Valverde's been playing excellent at right back over the past few weeks.
I know I should have known that. I know.
Yeah.
But it's just...
And I thought the game in itself was good. It was entertaining. Liverpool were battering Madrid. Porto was making some insane saves. I mean, it was entertaining.
I know. I know. I just wish Real Madrid brought it more. I didn't see them really bring it more. I thought it was very quiet from Mbappe, Bellingham, Vinicius Jr. I didn't really see much from the Real Madrid team. It was without a doubt their worst performance of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, I mean, it was Liverpool dominating them, which, I mean, also, like, I say I'm a neutral. I also kind of want to see Liverpool not doing that well. I was watching it with Liverpool fans who were a little annoying at times.
Yeah.
So maybe using the word neutral is not really that accurate.
That's almost your fault, though, for getting yourself into that situation, watching it with Liverpool fans.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't, like, enjoy it very much. I thought I was like, way more entertained with my computer on the side watching Bayern PSG. We'll get into that when we get into that.
I'm glad you were. Because my whole fucking team's injured now.
Who won Liverpool impressed you most in this game?
I thought Szoboszlai again had another monstrous performance. I think he's slowly turning into a very, very complete midfielder. Mm-hmm. I loved Connor Bradley as well. Mm-hmm. Ekitike, I thought, wasn't rewarded with a goal or an assist, but overall, so simple. I mean, it almost seems crazy now to compare Isak and Ekitike.
Yeah.
And in the way that you wouldn't think would be the right way a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like, Isak now, Ekitike now, why do I always mix them up? Ekitike now is almost clear of Isak at the moment we're speaking.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Everything he does is just so simple. And in this game, he just simplifies everything. And I thought that gave Liverpool so much, it helped them so much.
Do you think Liverpool already regrets the Isak signing? Not just because of how quiet Isak has been so far, but how good Ekitike has been.
Well, I think they wouldn't have signed Ekitike for that price tag if they didn't see something in him. So I don't think that Ekitike being good should come as a surprise for them. But regretting Isak's transfer, maybe the price tag that they paid for him, but you still have a lot of years with Isak. Like, it's not one season won't define the player he is. Sure, he's going through a rough time right now. And with everything that happened with him leaving Newcastle,
yeah.
A lot of people are disrespecting him, and I'm in that boat. I don't like the way he exited Newcastle, and a lot of people don't. But as to the point of regretting the transfer, I don't think they regret it that much.
Well, right, where's now the window where Isak comes in and adapts? Because what, they're probably gonna have to change to, what, like a two striker system if you want to incorporate Ekitike and Isak. They're probably not gonna do that.
Yeah, that
probably
is true.
Not gonna do that.
The one thing I do like is that Arne Slot is not budging and not starting Isak when Ekitike is clearly
the
better player. And that was a problem against Manchester United. That was one of my biggest issues when they played Manchester United, is that Ekitike wasn't starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we're good on that.
And that's one of your favorite things about Xabi Alonso as, like, in recent time, is that he's not scared to bench the biggest stars in his team. And I think that's a big reason why Real Madrid has been working these past couple of months. But they haven't been working here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't work here. He started his star Vinicius in this game. Didn't really go that well. Same with Mbappe. Same with Thing. Not saying there's a world where he shouldn't have started them. But yeah, they didn't really come that good in this one.
So when talking about versions of players and the best version of a player, where does Connor Bradley against Real Madrid rank?
Oh my goodness. He was unreal.
Oh my God.
It's unreal. I mean, you want to talk about Ekitike making the Isak signing look bad. Connor Bradley right now is making the Frimpong signing look horrendous.
Yeah. It's like every time Connor Bradley sees Real Madrid on his calendar,
yeah,
he just makes sure he turns up that day.
Was it last year against Real Madrid he played really well too?
Yes, it was. He pocketed Mbappe
last
year.
I'm not even remembering that.
You don't remember the tackle on Mbappe last year?
I remember that.
It went viral.
Wait, hold on. I need to find this now. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was Mbappe was through or almost through on goal. It was only him and Bradley. And Bradley just crunches into him, clean tackle and everything, and everyone went crazy.
I'm such a football casual. I need to see this.
And it was when Trent was injured.
Yeah. Frimpong's barely played this season. He's the forgotten man even more than Alexander Isak.
For sure.
Yeah.
It hasn't been smooth sailing their signings this season at all. Only one of them, I'd say, so far has panned out.
Yeah.
Frimpong, no. Kirkez, no. Isak,
so,
no.
So you're admitting Verts, no.
Oh, Verts, sorry. Verts is, we're 50-50. There's a Champions
League. All right.
There's a Champions League Verts and there's a Premier League Verts.
What's the difference there?
The Champions League Verts is much more performant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Premier League Verts needs to lock the fuck in.
I'm now seeing the tackle of Connor Bradley on Mbappe.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't classify through on goal.
No,
but,
yeah.
But yeah,
I don't
very
exactly
clean
remember
tackle.
The situation, but I remember it was a good tackle.
You're right though. Connor Bradley against Real Madrid. Good version of a player.
Oh, great version of a player.
Yeah, he had this little sequence where he dribbled past, I think, Bellingham and Mbappe in like 2 seconds. And I was like, oh, that is being framed and shown to the grandkids.
all kudos to him. He deserves to show his grandkids.
He does, man. He does. I think in this Real Madrid game, you have one particular player that you want to kind of...
Well, let's start. Let's just. I'll get to.
Oh, you're gonna get to him. Do you have anyone else you want to get to before getting to him?
Let's talk about who I liked in Real Madrid. I liked Carreras. I loved Courtois, obviously.
Yeah.
Carreras, I thought pocketed Salah throughout almost the entirety of the game.
Yeah, he's been really good.
But is it really hard to pocket Salah nowadays? Mm-hmm. Is my question. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't mind Militao. Those are the three players that kind of stood out to me in the Real Madrid team. I thought Camavinga had a very, very tough time at the right wing spot. And I think that's where Xabi Alonso went wrong, is that he, against a team that presses you, mm-hmm. and I've said this before, Liverpool pressed the shit out of Madrid. It was a real pressing from Liverpool, pressed high, didn't let him breathe at all. And against a team that pressed high, this Real Madrid team cannot compete. And that's why I don't think they'll end up winning the Champions League. Because in the big games, in the biggest games, something is not clicking. Xabi Alonso needs to find something that works in the big games. Whether it is, and I'm just saying this hypothetically, whether it is putting Mbappe on the right side so that you can start an actual striker.
Yeah.
Because I thought that the Bellingham in this game was more detrimental to the team than he was useful. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, I don't know, he needs to find something. He needs to find a solution.
Yeah.
To play well in these big games.
Yeah. I feel like the Xabi Alonso Real Madrid vision is one of like slower build-up, tactical fluidity, controlling possession. Obviously, in your first couple of months, though, you can't expect to go to Anfield and kind of execute that plan. So I know we were shitting a lot on Carlo Ancelotti's past couple of years of just being a little bit too route one, a little bit too like basic tactically as a Real Madrid manager. But sometimes, like in this game, I feel like they should have been a little bit more route one, a lot more direct. If you put Rodrigo on the right wing, you have that outlet of Vinny, Mbappe, and Rodrigo that I feel like you could feed balls into and at least have a chance on the break. Even in this game where you did not see that happen very much, I remember there's a sequence where it was a 5-on-3 and where it was Bellingham, Mbappe, Vinny, and how quick they play it and how good they were at getting the shot off still, it's like, damn, they're dangerous going forward. Yeah. They just didn't have many sequences like that.
There's also a problem is that they're going through the left side way too much, in my opinion. Way too much.
That's a good point. But when you have Camavinga out there, he's kind of a non-traditional winger, you're going to be forced to go more.
And when you have a player like Rodrigo, who has his own thing going on right now, apparently, and is not showing any signs of being the player he was last year, a couple years ago, it's hard to really find something that would work on that right side. So I can see why they're going through that left side.
Was Mesa Tuono injured for this game?
Yes, I think he's injured. He has the same injury as Lamine Yamal. No?
Does he now? Let me confirm.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Or, I mean, even if he wasn't injured, I don't know if I'd start him at San Antonio in a game like this.
No, true. I'm just saying, like, as an option. He was not on the bench.
I wouldn't be opposed to him starting Mbappe on the right and putting Gonzalo Garcia up top. I don't know how feasible it truly is.
I forgot about Gonzalo.
I mean, Gonzalo Garcia showed us some great things in the Club World
Cup. Absolutely, against good teams as well.
But no, against teams that press them, I'm finding it very difficult for Real Madrid to do something this season.
I don't know if we talked about it on Monday. I think the news broke over the weekend, but Endrick is probably going to go to Lyon in January. What do you think of that move?
Exciting for my Liga.
exciting for Endrick. I feel like he needs minutes and he needs a reset, kind of.
For sure.
I hope he does well.
And Lyon don't have a striker right now, so.
Yeah.
They're playing Tolisso up top, so. He's doing well, so.
I hope Endrick does well, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
he will come good.
He's 19 sure. years old still. Contract running till 2030,
mm-hmm.
and barely gets even a sniff. He's played 11 minutes in the past couple of months. Wasting on the Real Madrid bench right now. Anyways.
It's really hard to get into that team, though. Come on.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Especially when you probably should have played more in the Club World Cup. For whatever reason, doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I think he was injured. Is that right?
He might have just came back from an injury. Yeah. And then when you have Gonzalo Garcia.
And then Gonzalo Garcia kind of took his opportunity and fucking grabbed it. So, yeah. It's tough. It's tough. It's that time. Talk to me about Dean Huijsen.
Dino.
What's your problem with Dino?
I mean, Dean Huijsen is going to be a problem for Real Madrid this season. And I don't mean that in the right sense, in the positive sense.
In a good way.
I don't mean that in a good way whatsoever. I think he is a very good center back. Let me preface this before I go on with my tangent. I think he's a very good center back when his team dominates the ball. When his team is in possession, he will stand out this season. And that's why I think overall this season, he will stand out. People will call him a good player. People will say he had a good season. But in the games where Real Madrid are dominated, Real Madrid don't have as much possession as when they play Elche, as when they play Oviedo, as when they play Getafe. He will be vulnerable because he has serious defending problems, in my opinion. He is not defensively sound as people make him out to be. It's the nonchalance that he has in his defending is detrimental to him. I'm seeing so many instances in a lot of big games where the ball comes in the box and he's just ball watching. It was a prime example in this game, and a lot of crosses, even on the goal, I don't want to blame it on him, but I think he should be marking McAllister a little bit better. And when you see him kind of swiping at McAllister's back after the ball had already reached McAllister, that's not a good sign at all. So when Real Madrid are not dominating possession, there's a clear problem in their defense, and it's Dean Huijsen. If Dean Huijsen played for Barcelona, I think he'd be one of the best players this season so far. I seriously do think so, because Barcelona control possession. If he was playing for PSG, the same exact
thing.
When he plays for Spain, excellent. People call him the best center back in the world.
I think he's been really good so far this season so far.
Because what? Because what, Julian?
To your point.
Exactly. Yes. It's just, it's going to be, and I kind of want to be proven wrong here. Because I really do like this player.
Every single time we're watching the highlight pack and you're like, every single set piece or whatever, you're like, look at 24.
Because he's just,
look at Dean.
It's obvious to me.
I'm like, what do you have against Dean?
It's obvious to me.
Nah, it seems personal.
It's not personal. I like the player. I think he's an incredible football player. You know me. The thing I love the most about football is players' technical abilities. Dean Huijsen, among center backs, has some of the best technical ability.
Hell yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
So I really do like the center back. I'm just saying, when the going gets tough, when the match is in the 90th minute at 1-1 and a team is pushing, I don't know if I would rely on Dean Huijsen in a one-on-one.
Okay. Fair.
So I'm just, my eyes are peeled.
I just see, like, you need a partnership, and sometimes, like, yeah, you need the center back that is better with the ball. You need the center back that is a little more of a destroyer. I like the balance in Real Madrid's back, too. I think him alongside Eder Militao is a great fit. It's been fitting great. And I think, yeah, there's been a couple of moments where he hasn't had the best games when the going gets really tough. But he's also, like, what? He's 20.
Yeah.
20.
I'm sorry. Age goes out the window when you're a center back for Real Madrid.
What?
It does. It should. If you don't think it should at the best club of all time, the biggest club in the world, then you need to switch your mentality.
Bro, I know we've been used to, like, these superhuman teenagers coming through in recent years, but come on. You're 20 years old. It's going to take time,
I don't care. If I'm a Real Madrid fan, I do not care about his age. Yes, the age is true, and he is young, and he will develop into a better player, but you're starting for Real Madrid at center back. Fucking deal with it.
Bro, lad, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know you're only 20 years old. You're playing in front of 70,000 in the Bernabeu, going away
but
at Anfield.
That's exactly.
But you just gotta deal with it.
But that's exactly what's made Real Madrid so good
in
their history.
Of course. But, like, he just joined the biggest team in the world a mere months ago.
Yeah.
Just allow it. Let him settle.
All I'm saying, my
Let
eyes
prove
are peeled.
You wrong.
All I'm saying, my eyes are peeled. I'm going to be tuning into every big game for Real Madrid and then just focus on Dean Huijsen. I'll be tuned into the small games
as well. I know.
As well.
Every single set piece. Look at Dean. Look at Dean.
Look at Dean. He's ball watching again.
Bro, what has Dean done to you?
I loved him for Bournemouth. And I like him.
You didn't want to leave or what?
No. I like the move for him. Maybe a different club would have suited him better. Yeah. And I don't think that's a crazy take.
Wish he joined you guys over getting Zabarni.
Oh, fuck, at this point, yeah. I mean, in hindsight, absolutely.
How's Zabarni been doing? Did he play against Bayern?
No, he was suspended against Leverkusen.
Ah, right.
Yeah. He wanted to stir up the suspense against Leverkusen.
I'm like pretending I remember that moment. I don't.
Okay. You gave away two penalties, you don't remember?
What other? It was the Arsenal game during that same time, right?
It was.
Yeah, so I was kind of locked in on that.
Got you.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about this game, or can we move on to
Zabarni? Is Thibaut Courtois the best goalkeeper in the world?
Oh, right my now? Goodness. I thought he obviously probably should have done better on the goal. I know it's from like point blank range,
no,
but
on.
A couple. No. Okay, you see a ton of those where
probably could have done better on the goal. But I mean, look at the 15 saves that shouldn't have been saved before that.
I was going to say because a couple of minutes earlier he pulls off the exact same save against Virgil van Dijk. I know not every save is built equally. Like you see a lot of the time, you see that point blank bullet header from a couple of feet out, go right in between the keeper's hands. You know, it's like a 50-50. He would say himself that most of the time
can we
he
stop
saves
shitting on
goal.
Him and
however,
praise his fucking incredible
however,
game.
Historic game beyond
historic
that.
Game. Incredible. And probably the one of the few best goalkeeping
it's
performances
like ghost,
I've seen.
Ghost of 2022. Especially the breakaway, the when Szoboszlai had it squared to him by Wirtz.
Yeah.
That save there, especially on the replay afterwards, you see him
it's the one with
turn
the foot,
sideways
right?
with on the foot.
Yeah,
that's
the one with the foot. That's the most impressive
save.
One for me.
Incredible yeah, save.
Insane. What a goalkeeper.
I mean, he'll be his harshest critic saying they should have come away with
where does Courtois here, rank in the all-time goalkeeper rankings, do you think?
I don't know. I can say of the 2010s, there's him, there's Neuer,
there's
Buffon.
Buffon was
like,
later in his career, but I mean, I would still consider the 2010s.
David De Gea. I'm not trying to be Homer, but he's up there. Come on.
He is up there. But would you say he's on the same level as David De Gea is at the bottom of the pile?
There was a good 2 year stretch. Okay. But anyways, there's Alisson.
Yeah.
Ederson. They're kind of like 2020s going into as well. But mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Probably top two.
Top two, Navas.
Kaylor Navas? No, don't give me Kaylor Navas. I'd say Courtois for Navas.
Don't give me a three-peat goalkeeper?
Of course, he's fantastic. I don't.
No, did he three-peat? No, he didn't.
He did three-peat.
He did? 2016, I don't think he was there.
No, I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was.
Was he?
I don't know.
That's all ball knowledge for me if he wasn't.
Because who else would have been there?
Yeah, fair.
No.
This is why I'm raw dogging the pod. I don't have my computer on me. So
shame.
Yeah.
Shame. Yeah, probably top two behind Neuer.
Top two behind Neuer?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of putting me on the spot as well.
No, I don't think that's a crazy take. I mean, bro, the saves this guy makes in crucial moments of his career, in pivotal moments of his team's seasons,
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it's happened in multiple parts of his career, too. At the beginning of his career in Chelsea, in the middle of his career, and at the end of his career right now. Like, this, how old is he?
He is 33.
This motherfucker's 33
he's in
years
a,
old.
He's in a prime age for a goalkeeper.
I hate when you say this shit, dude. I really hate
that. That is prime age for a goalkeeper. Is it not?
it's a good age for a goalkeeper.
What? Bro, that's prime age for a goalkeeper.
Is it prime age for a goalkeeper?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Then
bro.
Sure, a prime age. But I mean, I'm saying in every stage of his career, he's come up with crucial moments every time. Mm. And that's what's so impressive to me. Because it's very hard for a goalkeeper to stay consistent. I think in terms of positions on the pitch, goalkeeper might be the hardest position to stay consistent throughout your entire career. Mm-hmm. And he has done it flawlessly, I want to say, almost.
I was talking about this yesterday. Like, he's been around since 2014
yeah.
with Atletico. Went to the Champions League final when he was, what, 20, mm-hmm. maybe 22? Mm-hmm. And then went to Chelsea, won the Premier League. Stayed at Chelsea for a couple of years, goes to Real Madrid and does what he does, wins the Champions League in 2022, wins another 2 years later.
Best player in the Champions League final, too.
Yep, in 2022 as well, against Liverpool. I was saying, when he was making a bunch of saves against Liverpool, like I said before, goes to 22 because it was it's all down to him why they win that final.
Yeah. And it's also all down to him why they didn't get smashed by more than one goal against Liverpool this time around.
Absolutely. Yeah, like sneaky all-time goalkeeper.
Sneaky? I don't think it should be sneaky at this point.
Like among all of history.
All of history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like now you're including Lev and Lev and them.
Dino's off, man. Dino's off. Yeah, I don't know his exact ranking when you go back, yeah. But I would imagine goalkeepers have also gotten better over the past.
For sure. I think he's going to be one of those goalkeepers where once he retires, people will truly start to reflect on his career and say, wow, what a guy.
Anything else to say on this game before we move on?
If you didn't notice, I was trying to delay the conversation more and more so we didn't have to get to this point.
25 minutes you took to get to the pain. Bad. God damn. all right. Bayern went away, correct?
They did.
To Paris. Yep. And
absolutely schooled us.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was really excited for this one. It was the best team on form in Europe versus last season's Champions League winners.
The two best teams in Europe at the moment.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably the Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bayern absolutely get it done. They could have even added more goals even after Luis Diaz's red card, but take it away.
They could have added one more goal after.
Like in the first half.
In the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
The first half was a footballing lesson.
Mm.
It was a footballing lesson. And the way that Kompany set up his men and the way that he was able to maneuver around the PSG players was incredible. It was incredible. Whether it was Kane dropping back almost in the sixth role at some times in the game, I saw this guy play like distributing passes like Pirlo, and I'm sorry, it's a crazy comparison, but fuck, like I didn't know Kane had that in him. And then you had Luis Diaz, who I had seen a lot of people over the summer criticizing that transfer, and how Bayern paid too much money. It seems like they didn't pay enough money at that point. At this point,
till the right card, but yeah,
till that fucker decided to do that. We'll get onto that little rat.
Yeah.
Konrad Laimer, I thought was impeccable.
Very underrated player.
What a player.
Yep.
And then that back two. I'm going to talk about Upamecano in a separate part because I really want to focus on him. But that back two, that center back partnership, man, what a partnership!
I feel like the double pivot of Kimmich and Pavlovic as well.
Kimmich played a great game too, and Stanisic played good too. Everyone played good, man. Everyone played good.
I remember what we were saying about them after the Club World Cup, after they went out to you guys, and we were really criticizing. Oh, why would you bring in a manager after getting, you know, after he got walloped and relegated with Burnley in the Premier League? Does that say we're a little bit casual about football? Yeah. I think these past couple of months have really told, like, I think it tells you how smart the Bayern recruitment was to have enough confidence in Vincent Kompany after he gets relegated with Burnley and to still say, you know what, we have the vision to see now how your philosophy of football can apply to the crop of players we have. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fair play to them.
I mean, it's completely because different situations. Because
so many managers today get hired based off pedigree, mm-hmm. based off success from 10 years ago, based off what they're known for, like based on like, oh, let's have a little like project here or bring in somebody that doesn't fit our system. But you know what? In 2 to 3 years, we'll have something going. Vincent Kompany not only fit the profile of players that Bayern had when he came in, but has also nurtured that team to play such a attractive and efficient style of football mm-hmm. this year. And man, the fruits of that labor is coming good.
And what and a
they
leader.
Look terrifying, bro.
And what God a leader he damn. Is too, I want to add too. He is a great leader. Anytime the camera pans to him in the game, he just seems like he knows how to manage his players so well. And it almost seems obvious in hindsight because as a player, he has gone through all the top managers in the world. This guy's been managed by Pep Guardiola. Like that's the best of the best.
Yep.
At that point, you know how to manage. You should be able to know how to manage top class players. And it worked out. Shout out to Bayern for that recruitment. Insane from them.
What a pull. They could have easily gone, like, I don't remember off the top of my head who was available in the summer of 24. But
Nagelsmann? It was after Nagelsmann.
It was after Nagelsmann, yeah. Correct. Yeah, I don't remember who.
It was Tuchel, sorry.
Hansi Flick was available during that time. Too. That's true. He went to Barcelona that summer. You definitely could have pivoted somewhere to get like a more established manager mm-hmm. over the big risk that Vincent Kompany was. And obviously it was patchy in his first year there and we criticized it, you know, but we're looking a little stupid now because
project takes time and that's almost the epitome of that.
Yeah. Shout out Bayern, man.
I want to say they played a perfect game. And the thing that scares me the most about Bayern beating PSG is that they didn't beat them in the way that they're used to beating other teams. Mm. They didn't beat them in the way that they beat Bundesliga teams. For example, in the Bundesliga, Bayern 80% possession, towering over their opponents because they dominate the ball so well.
Yep.
In the Champions League as well, against Chelsea, they had most of the ball. Against whoever they played, they usually dominate the games because of possession. They have a strict style of play. It's very fluid. They move the ball around, all this. Against PSG, they don't have as much control of the ball that they usually do, but they still manage to win. And that's the sign of a very good team for me, is that under different circumstances, you still find a way to get it done. In the second
setup,
half...
The setup changes accordingly.
Exactly. Mm. The setup changes accordingly. In the second half, when you're down a man, the fact that you are able to absorb as much pressure... Neuer was incredible, by the way. He was very good. I heard he's still over there claiming crosses from Kang and Lee. But no, he was very good. But the fact that you're able to absorb that much pressure and still come out of that game a winner, it would have been very easy for any other team to concede 3 to PSG. Mm-hmm. Very easy. Last year, in the Club World Cup, Bayern against PSG, PSG had 2 red cards and still managed to score on Bayern. What does that say about the development now, where Bayern's the one with the red card and they're able to hold off an 11-man PSG?
No one saw this coming.
Nobody saw this coming.
Like, I can't even tell you what exactly has flipped a switch, because the actual team that is doing so well right now is not that different at all from the one that lost you guys in the Club World Cup. So I don't know. I can't tell you.
They've been so good. I want to talk about one player specifically. I think Dayo Upamecano today is a top 5 center back in the world. And you can argue with the wall. And if you don't agree with this, anybody who doesn't agree with Upamecano being a top 5, 6, 7 center back in the world needs to reconsider. His contract expires at the end of the season. I think every club in Europe should be positioned on this player, because the turnaround in his career and what Vincent Kompany has done to this player, it's nothing short of insane. Let's remember who Upamecano was before.
2023.
Skinned by Haaland. Lackluster defending. It was looking very bad for him after his Leipzig days. But now, man, his challenges are top. The way he holds off attackers is insane. One aspect of his game that I find very, very underrated, and I find that he's improved so much, is his concentration. Like you said, in 2023, Haaland skins him because he's in two minds. He doesn't know what he's doing. But now, he just seems so composed, so concentrated on what he needs to do. And his technical ability on top of that, the way that he can send a ball forward to the midfielders, start the buildup, it's insane. If club managers and presidents are intelligent with what they want to do with their clubs and the road that they want to take, Upamecano needs to be top of that list. Top of that list. I think Real Madrid should prioritize Upamecano over Konate, in my opinion.
Damn. Okay.
And I want PSG to fucking sign him. And I'm saying this because I want PSG to sign Upamecano. He better still be in Paris right now, negotiating his contract.
But is this not like, you know, manager comes and revives him? Maybe he's like reinvigorated because it's a contract year. I was telling you about Luke Shaw syndrome.
Luke Shaw syndrome. How about
telling
you about
Luke Shaw syndrome?
Explain this to Luke Shaw syndrome.
Well, you just know, it's just like every couple of years, it's a contract year for Luke Shaw. Maybe we bring another left back to challenge his position as well. And then he just turns into the best left back in the world for 8 months. We all hype him up, and he gets a big money deal, and then we don't hear about him again for 2 years.
So that's...
Will the same thing happen with
Upamecano? I don't think so. I think the fact... Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's you. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he's just playing really well right now? Maybe he gets the PSG transfer next summer, and then he absolutely shits the bed under a different manager, under a different setup.
It's possible, but it's possible for any other player in the world. So I'm not going to play with those hypotheticals. I think the fact that his manager was a former center back has helped him tremendously, and a top center back at that.
Fair enough. I want to talk a little bit more about the PSG side.
Oh God.
Standout bad performances for you in this game.
Bad performances for me in this game. Bakhora, I think top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to step it up.
As of this season?
As of this season. He has the best opportunity in that team to prove himself. Mm-hmm. The best individual situation in that PSG team is Bradley Barcola's situation.
He has an opportunity with Doué out.
Exactly, with Doué out. Okay. He has the opportunity to prove himself that he can really be that top guy in the biggest games. Yeah. I'm sorry, after that performance and after the beginning of the season that he's had, I better not hear him bitching about not starting in a Champions League final ever again. All right? Because, goddamn, that was bad. So, yes, he's on that list for sure. I thought Vitinha had a subpar performance compared to what he's usually good at. Marquinhos, mm-hmm. obviously. Another mistake in the Champions League for Marquinhos. There's rumors going around that Marquinhos is telling his camp that he doesn't want to stay in PSG for a season too long. Like, he wants his time at PSG to be, like, perfect. Like, he wants to leave the perfect time
before the football leaves him.
That's great. That's exactly what he wants to do. I'm scared that this season might be the season where the football leaves him.
Mm.
I'm scared that this is a season where he does one season too many.
Mm. I see.
Yeah. That mistake, unforgivable. I thought Pacho wasn't at the level that he usually is. Maybe he is almost a little bit at fault in the first goal for stepping a little bit too far forward.
Thoughts on Zaire Emery?
Look, Zaire Emery has been good for us this season, I will say.
Okay.
And I think that's why he was rewarded with the start. I don't think Luis Enrique is the biggest culprit out of any player or out of any member of the PSG team.
Okay.
I think he did not set up the team properly whatsoever. I think João Neves should have been starting at the beginning of the game, maybe over Fabian Ruiz, not even over Zaire Emery. I thought Zaire Emery maybe should have started in hindsight.
Okay.
Because I think of everything that's been happening surrounding that player. He's been good all season. He's really almost started proving himself a little bit more. So that's fine. I didn't hate the Zaire Emery start in hindsight.
Okay.
So João Neves I would have started instead of Fabian Ruiz, because Fabian Ruiz just came back from injury. He played 20 minutes against Nice and that's it. And now you start him against Bayern, against the most informed team in Europe, and you see what that led to. Fabian Ruiz did not have a good game at all.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I wouldn't have started, and this is a little bit crazy, but it's the Ballon d'Or winner.
Wouldn't have started
Dembele.
Fucking hell.
Because of the injury that he just came back from. What are you looking at the camera for?
I'm get a load of this guy.
If you look at the it makes sense if you look at the Ligue 1
game.
He didn't have a great ever since his injury, he hasn't played very well. It seems like his restart to his playing time or like his restart is very slow. He's taking it very slow. Against Lens, it wasn't very good. Against Nice after the game, he tells Marquinhos he has a problem with his hamstring.
Mm.
So I don't know why. I'm not going to doubt the staff, because if they thought that there was a problem with Dembele, then they wouldn't have started him in the first place. But I think Aseni Mayulu, who's looked very good in the false nine position so far this season, would have done an okay enough job against Bayern in the first half.
Mm. Another hamstring injury.
It's a calf injury this time.
Okay.
So it's not...
FOTMOB says thigh injury.
Well, FOTMOB is usually wrong with those.
Yeah. Fair enough. I trust you more than them, for sure.
So, you know, it's a calf injury for Dembele.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was just going to make the point that, like, these are the kind of strains or these are the kind of injuries you see out of a team that is overexerted.
100%.
Like, Doué just had a hamstring injury as well.
100%, yeah.
I
mean, they played the most amount of games possible last season.
Yeah. Like, obviously, as bad as the Hakimi injury is, which we're going to get into, the fact that he has to be, you know, debilitated? Is that the word?
Debilitated?
He can't move. Immobilized. Mm. That's the word. That might have been a crazy misuse of debilitated.
We just use words here. We don't know what they mean.
Yeah. We just yap in it. But the fact that Hakimi, for as bad as his injury is kind of immobilized for the next 2 weeks at least, and it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to come back. I mean, in a way, you could say that's the exact break that he kind of needs.
I think it's 8 to 10.
8 to 10?
It's changed.
Because I know they were talking about AFCON. He may have to miss AFCON for a little bit.
I think he's missing the first half of AFCON, which sucks.
But as bad as that is, he'll come back in the business end of your season. You kind of need a fresh Hakimi for then.
Yeah, and but is it going to be a fresh Hakimi, though? Like, after you get injured, your ankle, especially your ankle is never really the same.
And he is a runner. He is very physical as
well. Exactly.
Obviously, that matters. But I think he could have played. Maybe this injury doesn't happen. Maybe in 2 weeks, he tears his hamstring. Who knows?
Why would you wish that upon him?
I'm not saying I'm wishing that upon him or wishing that upon anybody, but I'm saying with the amount of games he played, which is the most out of anyone in Europe last year, is that right?
Yeah, because he played the Olympics in the summer too.
Which is mental.
Yeah. So he went from Olympics to regular season.
I'm just saying.
To Champions League.
That's a guy that can use 8 to 10 weeks off for whatever reason it is.
Yeah.
So... But just silver lining for you if you want to take it.
Yeah, but just not in that way though. Like the way that he was injured, and I'm sure Luis Diaz is a wanted man in Morocco right now.
Is he a wanted man for you?
I think it was disgusting. I think it was stupid what he did, and I think it also could have cost his team. Yeah. I don't think the Bayern staff are very happy with what Luis. Obviously, he scored the 2 goals, but I don't think they're very happy with his overall performance just because he could have, if PSG score one more goal. All the blame is on Luis Diaz. Mm-hmm. So
damn, bro. Damn. Obviously, João Neves grabbed one. He grabbed another that got disallowed. Is that right? Oh, no. He had one that almost went in. I thought it went in.
Yeah.
I thought it went in.
Little genius he is, man. He should have started.
Yeah. But nope. Zaire Emery.
No. Zaire Emery starting was fine. It was Fabian Ruiz.
I was with you when the lineup came out.
What did I say?
You said Zaire Emery starting.
Did I not say Fabian Ruiz?
No, you were upset with Zaire Emery.
I'm sure I was upset with Fabian Ruiz.
Maybe I misunderstood.
I'm sure it was Fabian Ruiz.
Really?
Because he just came back from an injury.
I guess so. But I thought Zaire Emery starting against Bayern Munich in 2025. I'm almost positive I heard you go like a visible gasp
really?
Out of you going like, oh fuck.
I don't think it was him, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it was because of the fact John Evans didn't start. But hey, I mean it would line up.
It would line up.
Anything else to say about this game before we can move on? We are 40 minutes in. Only 15 minutes on that game.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it actually went quick.
I think we're good.
Okay. I think we're good as well. Let's move to maybe the Arsenal game. Quick word on the Arsenal game
before we
move on to today's matches.
You can Slavia Praha. What more do you really want from Arsenal?
Yeah. So Blake was with us yesterday complaining because – to start the day yesterday, the Gyökeres injury news comes out. Do we know how long Gyökeres is out for?
No. I don't think it's serious.
I don't think it's serious either. But basically, Blake came on the group chat saying like, oh my goodness, this happens every single year, man. Our team is absolutely strained. We're absolutely hampered by injuries every single year. It's the end of the world. Sky is falling down. We're going to have to play Mikel Merino up top. Oh my God. Mikel Merino scores a brace.
Yeah. I mean, at what point do we just admit that Mikel Merino is Arsenal's best striker?
Hey, he's sending on me. Yeah, besides that, very routine performance from
routine.
Arsenal. This run of form without conceding
is
a goal
nuts, man.
Is outrageous.
I was almost yelling at my TV because Arsenal conceded a shot on target. It was.
Well, we thought they were going to have the penalty laid on against them.
Yeah.
And then it gets disallowed.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You look at the past fixtures for Arsenal, I believe, they haven't conceded a goal since... the Newcastle
like
game, St. James' Park. That was the Gabriel winner. That was over 5 weeks ago now.
That's nuts. It's nuts. I think there's a stat out there that says that hasn't happened since 1903.
What?
Yeah,
holy
stupid.
Fuck.
It's crazy. And what a team. They deserve it.
Absolutely. Like this is historic.
Yeah.
Historic defense. They can have Mikel Merino's mom up top. And if they have that defense doing what they've been doing over the past 5 weeks, then they are going to win everything.
Yeah.
So.
Scary team.
It is a scary team.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's not give Arsenal too many flowers. Come on.
Yeah, please. Like, this is making me sick right now. This is making me sick. Any other games from Tuesday that you want to harp on?
Napoli drawing again. Conte in the Champions League. This is just straight DNA. It's a straight ass. I don't know how he manages to do it. Conte in the Champions League, his record is awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a little side note.
Okay, moving on to today's games. I want to start with Man City. They beat Dortmund 4-1. They looked incredible. Turkey grabbed another goal. That's 2-2 for your boy.
Yep.
What did you make of Man City's performance?
I thought it was solid all around against a Dortmund team that have been pretty good this season.
They have
so
been.
Far.
Does this give credence to the Farmers League allegations
I think
has been hitting the Bundesliga over the past couple of weeks?
I think they've been hitting the Bundesliga solely from your end. No. You have been the one on this podcast to bring up the Farmers League.
No. I'm just the messenger of this agenda.
So how do you answer your own question?
The Bird app. I don't think it does. Okay. And I think even more so, I think Bayern beating last year's European champions, it kind of kills it too.
The current European champions. I prefer like that.
Yeah. The winners of the championship. Fuck off. Yeah, I think it's a stupid narrative. But anyways, Dortmund came out in this game. Almost made it 3-2 at one point. Thought we were going to have a little bit of a game, but from minute 1 to minute 90, it seemed like Manchester City's game. It seemed like Phil Foden's game.
Phil Foden, man. Oh, my goodness. This is why I never give up on him.
He has been hitting form in recent weeks.
And I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to pull a Blake on you, but I told you so.
I kind of jested with you how long until the Saka Foden debates reappear.
Oh, no, he's better. I'm kidding. I think he is a better player, but you know, since we have Blake on this podcast, you can't really say that because he'll pressure you into trying to justify yourself, and then he'll like try to find every wrong thing you say.
Yeah,
I think his technical
technically
quality is greater than Saka's. He's more of a baller than Saka.
Yeah, like,
and we know that Arsenal lack ballers, obviously.
You know, Hatem Ben Arfa is probably a bigger baller than Bukayo Saka. It doesn't mean he's a better player.
No, I know.
So yeah, give me Saka. He's
also,
obviously,
he's also proven more than Saka in his career. He's also won more than Saka in his career.
If Saka played for Man City, completely different situation. Who knows?
I don't think if Saka played for Man City in that season that he would have won PFA Player of the Year.
To be fair, I think if Foden played for Arsenal, maybe he'd be better regarded because the burden on him and the expectation and the kind of responsibility on a team like Arsenal is much bigger than it's been for him on City. Obviously, it's kind of peaks and troughs, but like Phil Foden can afford to have an off month. You know, and Pep is going to rotate, right? Like, that's just how it is. Pep will be experimental. He'll take you off the lineup.
Saka would be assistant player. Let's just say
confident. Okay.
I'm kidding.
And if Gyökeres played for Man City.
Oh, fuck.
Well, do you think he'd be a monster?
No, I still think he'd be shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the City game, man.
Okay. Yeah, Foden looked really good. I was going to say, a well-playing Phil Foden is a win for football.
Yes, absolutely.
And that hurts coming from a
Man United you wanted
fan.
To say it.
But he is such a fun player to watch, like from a neutral perspective. He's such a fun player to watch.
Yeah, 100%.
He was fantastic in this game. Jeremy Doku was great in this game. I thought Savinho played a great game as well.
Jeremy Doku. Oh, that assist, brother. That's just my bread and butter. That's my bread and butter. I'm sorry. Like, that skill move that Jeremy Doku spams. And he doesn't just spam it. He spams it. Like, he just clicks that button over and over again. The little shimmy into, huh? You know, I know exactly, you know. I know you know what I'm talking about. And it works so well every time. No defender ever reads it. I sound like a City fan, man. Fuck. But it's so good. And it's
tricky.
And it worked. It worked against Dortmund again.
This whole team is clicking right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nico Gonzalez is, like, the main part of that. Yes, you were talking about it on Monday's episode. But if he's kind of taking on the role of like the main engine room of this City team, even to like half the productivity that Rodri would do it, that turns City into a real scary force.
100%.
And I don't know how much credit to give them right now because I feel like they're kind of on a run where they're really good, really good, really good for a couple of weeks, and then they'll lose an embarrassing one. They're really, really, really good, and then lose an embarrassing one. That, like, they need to kind of fill in a couple of holes until we really start going like, fuck, they've hit their run. It's a fucking City year again.
Yeah.
So I think give it a couple of weeks, kind of assess how City's looking. But if they carry on how they did in this game, it's going to be scary times.
Oh,
it's going to be scary
100%, 100%.
And the title race between them and Arsenal is going to be great once again. Nico Riley looks really good. The center back pairing works. Donnarumma was good in this game. Reiner's got 2 assists in this one.
You're just forgetting. I think you're missing one man. Like,
yeah, I was gonna get to it. There's only one City player in this game that
I don't even think he had a bad
an off day.
No, I don't even think he had a bad day. He had an okay day. It's just Mateus Nunes. Like, what do you really want to expect from Mateus Nunes? Let's be honest here.
He was the only player with a orange rating on the City team. He got a 6.7.
It's not like I warned you.
Fuck's sake.
And even Shirky, man, like, I don't want to keep going back to Shirky, but I will. In the 5 or 10 minutes that he came on, he showed moments of brilliance. Grabbed the goal. Interplay was very good. His link up with who was it with? Fuck. with one of them. I forget who it was. It was very good. But that just shows, like, even in the 10 minutes there.
So annoying. It shows how good he is. When they're playing like this, like a well-oiled machine, it's just annoying, yeah. Bro. It's just annoying.
Their attacking depth is crazy.
But this is definitely a more fun City team,
yes,
than the ones that went.
It's not a robotic City team anymore.
Yes, definitely not. This was a really fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. Nothing else to really say from a Dortmund perspective. They've had a decent year. Going to the Etihad is tough. Man City played really well. Yeah.
They tried to hang on. They couldn't. They almost grabbed a 3-2 goal.
Yeah, which again would have made it a game.
Yeah.
Didn't really happen. Let's go to Club Brugge 3, Barcelona Woo! 3. What a game wow. this was. What a game this was. Especially the opening 10 minutes.
So I discovered a new player today. Probs.
Oh, number 67.
Portuguese. No. The guy that scored 2 goals.
Oh, you're talking about Forbes?
Forbes.
Yes.
That's his name.
Yes.
Forbes. What a name.
Yes. But that's not... The other guy that you were saying.
No, really the other guy was moving me too, but he's a substitute.
Yes.
Yeah. Number 67.
It was Carlos Forbes.
Sorry.
It was Carlos Forbes. I think came through, was it Braga?
Yeah. Killer.
Yeah, and he's a really good player. He's been around for, I've had my eye on him for a couple of years now.
And I think beyond just him, Club Brugge have been a team in the Champions League that.
This is where I know him from. He came through the City Academy.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, well.
Well, I like him
makes,
a little
less. That makes sense.
I'm surprised he's not playing for like a Girona or something.
No, I was saying like beyond just the individual players in this team, like Solis and Forbes, this Club Brugge team throughout a couple of years now have always kind of been there in the Champions League. I'm wondering where this kind of team would finish in like a Bundesliga or in like a Liga. And I don't think it's far-fetched to say that they'd be in the top half of Liga. The way that this team plays, man, their intentions in the game, the way that they move the ball, I mean, against a team like Barcelona, they were countering crazy. There were moments where they were on the ball and they were moving it very well. I was surprised, and I was pleasantly surprised too.
They always have some really good, energetic young pieces. Christian told us we've kind of talked about over the years. Ordonez as well.
Yeah, Ordonez, yeah. He was supposed to leave. He was supposed to go to Marseille, actually. I'm happy he didn't.
Yeah. Talking about my Bournemouth career mode, big fan.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you to sign him?
You did.
I did.
You Come did. On. Yeah, he's been
like
good.
Like last year, they had De Kuyper, they had Talbi.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Like these guys are Premier League, not stars, but they're Premier League starters now.
And their recruitment is really good as well. I think from a Barcelona perspective, you'd be really disappointed.
100%.
Once again, we've talked about this a couple of times already this season with Barcelona. It's that defense, man. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. It must be so frustrating to watch as a Barca fan how easily they're able to get got.
100%.
And like I was saying, when their attack is not going insane, when it's not performing to a historic level, like they kind of were in this game, how good their attack can be, they showed out, then they really struggle. Yeah. And they're really messing with it in this game as well.
I mean, Barcelona's worst mistake of the season came in the summer when they sold Inigo Martinez.
Which I still don't understand.
It's as simple as that, man.
You're starting Eric Garcia in the Champions League. Man, what are we doing?
Eric Garcia hasn't
been okay this season, but I've never, ever, ever lived a day of my life where I'm trusting Eric Garcia as a competent center back.
Mm-hmm.
Not a day of my life I've ever had.
That Inigo Martinez brought to this Barcelona back line last year it can't go unnoticed at this point. Because look at how many chances they're conceding behind their backs on the counterattack now. It's criminal. Conceding 3 to Club Brugge, who played very well, but that cannot happen if you're a team like Barcelona.
Yeah.
And there are mistakes in there going beyond the back line. I thought Chesney had a horrendous game, and I thought that last goal at the end to make it 4-3 for Club Brugge, I don't think it should have been chalked off, in my opinion.
Oof.
I don't think that was a foul. No, I mean, it's the trailing leg of a player of Chesney that's getting caught on.
Sly tackled, and it's. I think he just slides right through Chesney. I didn't see any trailing of the leg.
I didn't see that. From the angle I saw it through, it didn't look like a foul to me.
Fair enough.
But anyways, like the fact that you let go of your best center back from your best center back from last season, and just didn't replace him, is criminal. And now I see people falling on Hansi Flick and all this, but how much can you really blame Hansi Flick? He's sticking with the same tactics he had last year. He just doesn't have the the crucial piece that he had last year.
Do you think they'll be able to sign someone in January? Or is it just too constrained?
I think they almost need to sign somebody in January to save their season at this point.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing teams like Rayo Vallecano. We're seeing teams like, who they play at the weekend? Elche. We're seeing teams like Club Brugge get clear-cut chances against them. That, if you're Barcelona, that cannot happen.
Yeah.
It simply cannot happen.
Yeah. Lamine Yamal grabbed a goal here. Yeah. Was it?
Post-breakup Lamine. We are there.
Yeah,
we are here.
That's right. Fermín Lopez continued to produce as well.
A second goal that was deflected off Solis' head.
I'm surprised they didn't give it to him, to be fair.
Yeah, me too.
No.
Thought Rashford had a... These last two games from Rashford, man, don't be fooled by the stats, I will say. Don't be fooled by the two goals against the one goal against Elche. Great goal, but...
It was a great goal.
The five shots he attempted before that. Whoo. Oh, brother. He's moving ball hog lately.
That's what Rashford does.
Yeah.
That's what Rashford does.
Yeah.
When he hits form, or if he hits form, then, you know, it'll look insane. But, yeah, that's kind of what he does.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pedri's a big miss, too.
How long is he out for?
I'm not sure. You can double check that.
I should double check right now.
Oh, yeah, the double pivot. Casado, De Jong, it can work.
Till mid-November.
Yeah. It can work, but... It's not as efficient as when you have Pedri there.
Yeah. Juan Garcia obviously is a big miss
also,
as well.
I'm not sure he made.
He's back in training now along with Ter Stegen. So Chesney,
you're out of here, buddy. On the first goal, do you think, or the second
I think
goal,
the second goal, the breakaway.
Do you think he's at fault for not coming out?
I think he should come out there. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like a crazy blunder, but like, man, I was victim to Onana every week.
Yeah,
I know when you a keeper should come out when I see it.
You know blunders too.
Yes, I know blunders. Trust me. I'm the resident expert on goalkeeper blunders. All right, I'm a victim of to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you absolutely should. Like, close the angle a little bit. He seemed a little like just rooted to his line. I feel like you got to do something
because the ball seemed so far gone, and then I was just waiting for Chesney to come out from the side of my screen, and it just never happened. And then I see Forbes opening up his body. I'm like, where the fuck is Chesney? And then he curls it past him.
Yeah. I don't even remember if it was placed that well. You can maybe make the argument that if Chesney was a couple more feet out, maybe close the angle easier. I don't know. We also don't have Blake here, our goalkeeping expert,
our goalkeeping expert
in-house
here
tonight. So, you know.
But I think he also said that
Wojtek
was at fault.
Wojtek. Let's move on to... Inter 2-1 against Cardinal Mazzi. I don't much to say about this game, to be honest.
Me neither. No, it's not one that I really followed.
On the day that Inter and Milan come out announcing that the San Siro is being acquired by the two clubs and will probably be torn down in the next couple of years, they win 2-1 against Kairat Almaty. Probably should have won. It's kind of weird that it was even close at one point, but yeah, they get it done. I want to ask what you think about Stadium being torn down.
I mean, it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
It's the history that stadium alone holds.
We got to get out there.
We got to go there for sure.
We got to get out there.
I don't know when they're taking it down. I think it's 2026. We got to get there imminently.
Fuck. Yeah. Is it actually? I thought it was going to be something where like they plan to in the next couple of years, but it's not like a pressing issue. I would look it up if we had time, but it's okay. We'll keep it rolling.
Do we have any other games to talk about?
What's that?
Do we have any other games to talk about?
Carabag drew 2-2 with Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing. I was in class for this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wasn't watching either. Benfica lost.
As per. Benfica, the almighty Benfica, the wagon, the team that supposedly is the best in Portugal, is sitting dead last.
Bro, we're fucking shite.
Of the Champions League.
Fucking shite, bro. I mean, it's such a, like...
I mean, when you're sitting next to the almighty Ajax in the table, you know something's wrong.
It all started with Carabag.
So is Mourinho, like, what's going on?
I think, I don't know. Mourinho's been okay since he came in.
Okay, like, he's been okay.
We've scored, like 12 goals in our last three games in the Portuguese League.
Yeah, in the Portuguese League, though.
But I know.
I'll remind you.
It's different.
I will remind
you. I
know.
When you're scoring three against, like, Tondela, it's different.
Let
me
just remind you.
We also
Mourinho
should have won this
led game. Another Portuguese team to a Champions League title, and now he's sitting dead last bottom of the Champions League.
He's actually sitting second bottom to Ajax, will have you know.
Oh, on goal difference, yeah. Ajax concede, like, three a game. It's stupid.
Yeah.
They concede four to Marseille, three to Galatasaray.
Table right now. Yeah, Ajax with a minus 13 yeah, goal shocking, difference. Man. They have scored one,
they're
conceded shocking. 14.
They're awful.
How, bro?
They're awful. How much is Chelsea
2-0. They lost 2-0 to Inter. They lost 4-0 to Marseille. They lost 5-1 to Chelsea.
Yeah, 5.
And they lost 3-0 to Galatasaray. That is awful.
Yeah, that is poor. That is poor.
Yeah, it for Benfica, it all started with the game that got Bruno Lage sacked. It was choking a 2-0 lead to Carabag. It's the stuff of nightmares. I don't know how any manager can survive that. Mourinho came in, and I mean, his next two games after that was Chelsea and away at Newcastle. Two very tough games. That's why the Carabag one was a must win, because your next three after that were pretty tough. And we were the better team against Leverkusen. I had goals own on, so can't say like particularly that we absolutely should have won. So take that with a grain of salt. But chance after chance after chance, I see and hear, and we lead by all stats. We absolutely should have won at home against a Bayer Leverkusen team who's been very, very patchy. Very patchy so far this season. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Very disappointed. I think this almost confirms that we're, it's going to take a lot to make it to the next round of the Champions League.
As a Benfica fan, how are you?
Thank you.
How are you
Thank
feeling?
You.
How are you feeling?
Thank you.
Are you down? Like, are you?
Look, man, I was really looking forward to our annual round of 16 exit in the Champions League.
Yeah. Might not come this time. Maybe round of 32, if you're lucky.
Fuck, man. But we go to, hey, you know what? If there's light.
Where do you go?
We play Ajax next.
Relegation battle in the Champions League. Hello.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we go away at Ajax next. If we lose that,
then
it's done.
No, I think Ajax. I think Ajax is the worst team this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we are at home to Napoli. That's a Hoyland goal if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Then we go
but
away.
But then again, Conte in the Champions League.
Then we're away at Juventus.
Yeah, okay.
Then we're home to Real Madrid.
Yeah, tough schedule for you lot. I feel like your points should have been taken
The fucking Carabag game, bro. That's why it was a must win.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably done out.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to take a Mourinho miracle. And those are very few and far between these days. Very few and far between.
What else is on the menu?
The Marseille game I want to touch on real quick. I know you have your vendetta.
Now, this is something that brings a smile to my face.
I know you have your vendetta. Marseille absolutely robbed. Absolutely robbed.
First of all, let's talk about the 90 minutes before that. Where Atalanta thoroughly deserved to win over Marseille.
I can't talk about the 90 minutes before
There's a disallowed goal in there, and there's a missed penalty in there for Atalanta. I think the 90 minutes suggest that Atalanta deservedly won the game.
They didn't deservedly win the game because it went off Ederson's arm, should have been a Marseille penalty, and then they go to the other end off of that, and they score a screamer. All right. Technically, in that moment, they did not deserve to concede that screamer because they deserve to be awarded a penalty.
Fair enough. I hear you
that's
on
it.
That.
That's
but
how
the
football
performance
works.
Of Marseille, if they had...
I don't give a shit about performance.
If Marseille got out of that game with a point...
I don't give a
oh
shit
God.
About performance.
Oh, brother.
They should have left with 3 points because they should have had a penalty off the back of Atalanta going to the other side of the field and scoring a screamer.
Mm. Another penalty for Greenwood, huh? That pen merchant, man.
Well, that's not the worst name he's been called.
Certainly isn't. Yeah. No, but I think the performance of Marseille was not good enough to win a game against a weak Atalanta side, man. If there was one day or one game that Marseille could have come out of a winner at home with the fans behind them, crazy atmosphere as we know it, it was this one. Yeah. They didn't do it against Sporting after being up 1-0 last week or 2 weeks ago. And then now they didn't do it against Atalanta when they had the opportunity to do it going into this game.
Two more games I want to talk about with you here real quick. First was Juventus Sporting, forgot to touch on. Mainly Jonathan David. You were talking before about Jonathan David. Do you want to rehash that?
Yeah, I'm hearing talks that his camp is already looking at potential exits, an exit plan for him, somewhere else to go for him.
It's tough, man. Vlahovic in his contract year has some competition that the club just signed. He now decides to ball out after 4 years of mediocrity.
What a player. Is it the Luke Shaw effect again?
It's the Luke Shaw syndrome again, yeah. Bro. Again, contract year, somebody comes in to replace you, and you just ball out, and next year he'll be shit again.
That just shows it shows that he's a big player. He's not going to let his spot be taken by anybody else.
It's been a very disappointing season for Jonathan David so far. It's not even that, like, at the start of the season, he performed really well. It's not even necessarily that he deserved to be out the lineup, but just that Vlahovic was on something else. Mm. And, yeah. Again, you were saying before that you don't think he's worthy to be starting for Juventus, or you don't think
is that what I said? I think we're putting words in my mouth right
okay,
now.
Okay.
is what I think is happening.
Okay, but you think he's the O word.
The O word?
The O word.
Overrated?
Yes.
I think you said that.
No, I didn't.
Julian.
Okay, yeah, I did. No, but you said it first.
I mean,
you said it first.
You're talking framing here. This is a prime example of just putting words in my mouth.
I did agree with you.
He
but you said it first.
I didn't. The word overrated did not come out of my mouth. I said.
Yes, you.
I said most of his goals in Liga.
Most of the reason why
his goal tally in Liga was high is because he was on pens for Lille.
Okay,
you said. And then you said, yeah, honestly, I think he's slightly overrated. I did not say the O word. Okay. I would never say the O word. All right,
I swear I wasn't trying to gaslight. I'm sorry.
You were.
I'm sorry. No, I wasn't trying to.
There is a little bit of validity to that statement. I will reassure you.
Okay.
Like, in the summer transfer window, I was looking at potential targets for Jonathan David and teams that I thought he could potentially go. I was thinking Atalanta as the main candidate. I was very surprised that he went to Juventus.
I from my perspective, for Canada, I always see him disappointing. So that's where my perspective comes in. But you have called him overrated before.
Again, you're just...
I'm not trying to gaslight.
I swear I've heard you say it.
Okay,
pull up the video, the
obviously,
proof at
obviously, I
one
don't
time.
Have the fucking well, file loaded up in front of
me. Well, that's fucking unfortunate then, isn't it? Because I don't think I called him overrated.
And I never called Scott McTominay overrated unless you couldn't get the file
there's
up
a
right
clip,
now.
There's a clip from it online, actually, on our page. Yeah. So,
fuck, man, I sound like such a gaslighter.
Yeah, you are one.
Fuck. Yeah, poor Jonathan David.
And it makes it even worse.
Maybe
that
he
should have
scored in the final 3 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes it even worse that he has the match point.
He only got 3 minutes in this game. That's disrespectful.
Disrespect. Is it?
It is.
Last game you want to talk about?
Last game I want to talk about was Tottenham beating Copenhagen 4-0. Mm. Mickey van de Ven.
Puskas?
Ooh, it's up there.
It's up there.
It's up there. We were watching, I think it was like the TNT commentary or somebody, and it was
dead.
Dead.
It was dead.
Dead call.
There's one call that's insane on his goal.
Yeah.
Where the commentator just goes ballistic.
As he should have.
The other one is awful. Yeah. Was it TNT? I thought it was the zone.
Oh, it was the zone.
But no, the zone might have been good.
I don't know. It was his own highlight pack we're watching. So, yeah, great result from Tottenham. Response that they needed at home after the embarrassment at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, again, it's Copenhagen. You don't know how much to take out of it. But from experience, Copenhagen is it's a tough out.
Is it?
It's a tough out. It's very, very
Rooney Bargy
to
them?
Slipping up.
Back in the day when he was there.
You just triggered some PTSD.
Rooney scoring against the team that is most known for having a player called Rooney. Yeah. That was fun. That was an era.
Xavi Simons played well in this game.
He did. First good game under in a white shirt.
A lot of chances in this one.
His pass to Brandon Johnson was top.
Yeah.
And a tidy finish as well.
Tidy finish, but then he grabbed the red card. Unfortunate. But fuck that guy. Again. Some PTSD attached to that name. This is the PTSD derby here for Man United fans. and that's about it. Nothing else really to add from this game. Dude.
Short pod. I don't mind it.
Short pod. But this is good. Get this out quick.
Yeah, we recapped what we had to recap. And
I like these quick recaps of the Champions League. Not much else to talk about in the football world. Ronaldo had an interview with Piers Morgan that we didn't cover on Monday's pod. He mainly said that the World Cup kind of doesn't matter. Maybe taken out of context. To be blunt with you, have not seen the full interview.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that his biggest collaborator is Piers freaking Morgan. But hey.
Not a fan.
Also, what I was saying on Tuesday.
Here we go.
Horrible YouTube channel.
Yeah?
Like Ronaldo's YouTube channel. Generational waste of potential.
Really?
Ronaldo's YouTube channel. He breaks all kinds of records for most subscribers in X amount of time, but the actual content that he posts, horrendous.
Really?
Horrendous. It's like It's like a fucking BuzzFeed video that popped off in 2015. That's the kind of level that we're talking about here. You know how much better it could be if he's like vlogging a day in his life, if he is, you know, taking you through like some of his biggest moments in an actual relatable way. Like, he's basically just got like a studio show. The content ideas are all over the place. It'll be like, you know, Georgina rates my whatever. And it's just half-assed shit. He's not really invested in it. It's like, he doesn't really care. It's just...
Are you disappointed?
I'm very disappointed. Yeah. I don't enjoy watching it at all.
Yeah.
And I hear that from a lot.
I think they should hire Julian on the social media team.
And I think they should hire Antoine along with it. I'm not going without him.
I love that.
I just want to get that rant off my chest. I mean, I've been thinking it for like a year. Just thought it was okay to say now.
Yeah.
This is the deep end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening if you're still here. But just listing off like his recent videos.
Here we go.
I mean, you're looking at the everything revealed shit with Piers Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at some 1 minute hashtag stayed for more video. What is this? Oh, it's an ad.
Yeah,
it's a visit Saudi. It's a visit Saudi ad.
Okay, probably in his contract.
Actually, yeah, three of his last six videos are ads for Saudi Arabia.
Nice. How much money do you think he made from those?
I don't even want to think about it. He kind of doesn't even post on his YouTube channel that much, mm-hmm. honestly. Over the past 4 months, he's posted just a couple of times, an exclusive fashion trip vlog, with Georgina.
It's like he's holding the camera up and he's vlogging.
No.
Oh.
No. It is a producer is following his wife and he barely makes an appearance in the video.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A 1 minute video talking about his production company, a 1 minute tribute to Portugal winning the Nations League, a 40 minute video he posted after renewing his contract at Al Nassr.
Wow.
A 10-minute interview of him talking about Al Nassr TV. Another ad, a teaser for the Piers Morgan interview and the Piers Morgan interview. It's such a waste. Oh my God. Such a waste. Ugh.
I didn't know you were this invested in the topic.
Oh, this gets me going. Okay.
Wow.
Anyways. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for another episode of the 6 Euro Box podcast. One more thing we want to shout out again, just here before we go off, is our raffle that we announced right before the beginning of last episode. We'll also have it rolling before this episode. But for our charity match, Kick the Stigma, we are throwing a raffle, which closes on November 14th, and we are announcing at halftime of the game. Featured in the raffle is...
the World Cup ball.
A Trionda.
Some kits.
Some kit. Well, don't reveal the kit.
What, you don't want me to reveal the kit?
It's mystery kits.
It's mystery. You're right.
Don't reveal the
kits. Some kits.
I actually need to apologize. We did some false advertising. I said you can win 3 mystery kits.
You can win 4.
You can win 4. You can win 4 mystery kits, and that is courtesy of New Jersey's plug.
We have some Prime.
I got my shipment today of Prime Hydration. They sent us 10 cases.
Yeah, that's 120 bottles.
And you could win one of those included in the raffle. And as well, you can win a World Cup graphic tee as well. Total value of the package is over $250 Canadian. And actually, no, even more than that now.
Yeah,
if we're throwing in a fourth kit. So closer to
$300
Canadian.
And you can get it for just as low.
And you could even enter the giveaway or enter the raffle for as little as $5. Again, it is $20 for 50 entries,
yep.
$5 for 10 entries, $50 for 300 entries.
Yeah.
I said that right?
You just said that right.
Okay.
There you go.
So there you go. I think it's great value. If there wasn't like a conflict of interest, I would probably put a lot of money into it myself. This man already did. I'm just saying, if you win that raffle,
no, I can't win it. We're gonna give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just hoping like an actual random person wins it and like not somebody actually there on the day, or else it's gonna look pretty fishy. But anyways, please enter the raffle. You can throw in as little as $5. It goes towards funding Kick the Stigma, which is our charity game going down, broadcasting on this YouTube channel November 16th. You can catch it right over here. And be sure to enter that raffle because, like, legitimately, great freaking value.
Yep.
in that. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoy this episode of the podcast, be sure to like, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Give us some hype. Don't forget and hit the little notification bell so you don't miss another episode of this little shithousery here. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know after 4 games who's going to win the Champions League. That being said, it has been myself and European champion Antoine, and we will see you all in a couple of days.
We out.
See ya.